loving and gracious God, we thank you for the glory of this day. For we have walked with you during Holy Week. We have found reflection and some rest spiritually. We have been looking forward to this day. So help us as we continue to walk with you throughout Eastertide and the long season of Pentecost. Help us to remember what this week has meant for our own spiritual journeys. Bless us and guide us. Empower us with your love and your hope. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a child, one of our favorite playgrounds was actually the cemetery. Our house was across the street from a very large park, and across from the park was a cemetery that seemed to go on for miles and miles. And we spent hours playing hide and seek and walking the rock wall bordering the perimeter and making hideouts in the boxwoods. We did not intend any disrespect. As children, we had not yet learned the hard rules of life and death. But through the years, I've learned, as I'm sure you have too. This year is the 27th anniversary of the day I stood weeping in a family cemetery as my mother's ashes were buried. Playing that day was the last thing on my mind. Sooner or later, for all of us, it happened. Confronted with the dark realities of death, cemeteries seem more similar to prisons than playgrounds, holding our hopes captive and locking away our dreams and slamming shut the door on the future. Visits to the graveyards are accompanied by cries of anguish rather than shouts of joy. Ask Mary Magdalene. After surviving the unthinkable horror of that Friday on the first day of the week in the early morning darkness, she was dealt the crowning blow, one more event in the long string of atrocities. The stone was rolled away, the tomb was empty, the body was gone, and she ran back with the news. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him. The helplessness opened the floodgate of tears. There was nothing she could do. They have taken him away, and I don't know where. It was more than she could bear. They, whoever they were, had won. The powers of evil were too great. Mary felt helpless and hopeless. Why are you weeping? The angel asked. Mary might well have asked the angel, why not? If you're not weeping, you haven't been paying attention. Don't you read the papers? Don't you listen to the radio? Don't you watch the evening news? Haven't you noticed? The principalities and powers of evil are running rampant. Sometimes the only choice seems to be to play the world's game. When all hope appears to be lost, what can one do but weep? When you're held captive to technology or consumerism or militarism, when you're suffocating in life, in the tombs of corporate advancement or personal achievement or self-gratification, there seems to be no choice left but to join in the world's game and weep. Only a short time ago, Mary and the other disciples had been playing follow the leader with Jesus, running through the graveyards, thumbing their noses at death. You remember Lazarus. He had been rotting in the grave for 4 days, yet walked right out when Jesus called, "Ali, Ali, in free." Back then, Jesus had dared them to imagine a different world. A world where masters wash servants' feet and the winner is the one who comes in last. A world where the myth of scarcity was proven false by a 5,000 plate banquet served from the contents of a little boy's lunchbox with more leftovers than any Tupperware could contain. A world where, instead of survival of the fittest, wolves and lambs were sitting side by side at the table, and homelessness was unheard of. Then they had been like children playing in the cemetery, but now they've taken away my Lord. And it appeared the game was over. Their team had lost. The graveyard was but a stark reminder of the captivity and the bondage to the powers of death and despair. There was nothing Mary could do. But that did not mean the game was over. As she sat weeping in the cemetery, the one she had mistaken for the gardener called her name. Peering through the tears, Mary recognized Jesus. God was still in the game. It was too good not to be true. The powers of death had not won. And now all the rules were changed. Mary realized that she was not helpless. There was something she could do. She moved from weeping to witnessing. I have seen the Lord, she said. Mary discovered new purpose and new possibilities. Disciples don't have to play by the old rules. In raising Jesus from the dead, God broke the bondage of evil, and so we are set free for life, set free to imagine the world in a whole new way. 27 years ago, I stood in our family cemetery in northern New Mexico, and I wept at my mother's grave. And a few days later, we returned to the cemetery. This time we took my oldest brother's children because they hadn't been there earlier. They were too young for a service in a graveyard. And as we drove to the cemetery, I tried to explain where and why we were going. I told them Grandma was with Jesus. I wasn't sure what they had heard. So when we got there, the girls didn't linger long beside the grave. They were running around as children will. They were playing in the cemetery. They were exclaiming over the variety of old tombstones. And suddenly, my then 3-year-old nephew pointed at an especially large sepulcher that looked almost like a house. And he pointed at it. Look. That must be where Jesus lives. The wonderful logic of a child. If this is Grandma's grave and she is with Jesus, then why not? We had thought the children were too young to understand, but perhaps they caught a glimpse of the truth that through our tears it was hard for the adults to see. My friends, the hope of the resurrection is that this world is not just where Jesus died. This world is where Jesus lives. And because Jesus lives, because God has broken the power of sin and death, we have been set free to live as well. Sometimes that is hard to believe. The principalities and powers of evil often appear to be in control. Some days it is hard to see with eyes of faith, and that is why we need the church. So that in those times when our sight is blinded by tears, we can hold on to another's faith. That is why we need the meal we call the Lord's Supper that we're going to celebrate today. The sacraments might seem like child's play to the world, eating bits of bread and drinking sips of juice. To a casual observer, it would appear a harmless tea party. But when we look with eyes of faith, when we listen with ears of hope in this bread broken and this cup poured, we discover a new Mary's gospel. I have seen the Lord. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we dare to imagine a different world, a world not imprisoned by the powers of sin and death, but set free for love and justice and peace. This is a day to celebrate, to share the victory feast of our God. We have been set free. So even though the tears may be streaming down our cheeks at the atrocities of this world, we can get up from the table and follow our leader, running through the cemeteries, running through the streets, and the Pentagon, and the Capitol, and the boardroom, and the back alleys, and thumbing our noses at death. For Christ is risen, Christ is risen indeed. Say it with me. Christ is risen, Christ is risen indeed. And one time again, Christ is risen, Christ is risen indeed. So may it be. Let us pray. Gracious God, on this day of resurrection, we give you thanks. We thank you for the promise of life, life after death, and life before death, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. The Gospel. Alleluia.